Well, I did promise you a very special service that we had planned today, and I'm about to reveal it to you right now. Now, ordinarily, Pastor Neil would be preaching the sermon today, but being a change of plans, Pastor Neil was going through this Festival of Tabernacles during the week, and he realized, wow, this is massive, this is huge. No Gentile can do this justice. This needs to be preached from a Jew. So Pastor Neil has got a very special guest preacher in today. His name is Shlomo Ben Mesha, and he's about to bring to you his testimony of the events of the Feast of Tabernacles. Over to you, Shlomo.
Shalom, shalom. My name is Shlomo Ben Moshe. Shlomo, the son of Moshe. And I'm very honored today to be with you on this Sukkot. You may know it as Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. But we call it the Feast of Sukkot, and it's the final feast for the year. It's autumn here in Israel, and this final feast is one of three. There was a Feast of Trumpets, I believe you heard about that, and then there was the Day of Atonement, and I believe you heard about that. Now it's my privilege and honor to tell you about Sukkot, about Tabernacles. Everybody in Israel looks forward to Tabernacles. Wonderful, wonderful time of the year. The harvest is over, and it's time to sing and to dance and to feast and to just enjoy the fruit of our year of labor. You know, I'm sure that you haven't been to a Feast of Tabernacles. I'm sure you haven't seen a Feast of Tabernacles. But neither have I. You have to understand, I come from a faithful Jewish family. My Abba and Mama were very faithful. I read Torah. I obeyed the commandments. I attended the festivals. I made their prescribed offerings. Always they observe Sabbath. Every Sabbath. And yet, you see, I was born blind, totally blind, completely unable to see anything. Eyes I had, but sight I did not. As I grew up, Abba, my father, would describe things to me, all sorts of things, but still, I had no idea what he was saying, only his words, but nothing. I could see nothing. He would describe a fig tree to me, give me a delicious fig to eat, but still, I had no idea what a fig tree looked like. Abba took me to the priest at the temple in Jerusalem, but despite their prayers and their anointing, still, I could not see. Nothing ever helped. Sometimes after I went to bed, I would hear Abba praying and pleading and asking Adonai to give me the ability to see. Still, nothing. Till this very day, I am blind. We had an olive grove and a vineyard near a small village called Bethany, which is quite close to Jerusalem, 6 miles. As I grew older, I would walk into Jerusalem to beg for alms. And one of my favorite places to sit was by the pool of Siloam. It always seemed so peaceful there. And the people who came to spend time there always seemed to be pleasant and generous to me. You see, my friends, the pool of Siloam is so important that we Jews. It's from the pool of Siloam that the water is drawn for the water ceremony at the tabernacle. every day for 7 days. Early in the morning, a priest would come and dip the golden jug in, and there'd be people everywhere cheering and laughing and clapping and dancing. And they'd follow the priest up, and he would pour the water and the wine onto the altar. You see, the water from Siloam is so important to us Jews because it reminds us of when we came out of Egypt and we were delivered through the water of the Red Sea. We were provided with water in the desert when Moshe struck the rock and the pure water flowed out and fed our thirsty people. The water is also to us, speaks in our scripture of Ruach HaKodesh, or you might say the Holy Spirit. And what is most beautiful of all about the water is it's about the words of our prophet Ezekiel. He talks about the water that flows out from underneath the temple in the New Jerusalem when Adonai HaMashiach, God our Messiah, will sit on the throne of his father David and rule and reign from Jerusalem. The water from Siloam is so important to us. And I love to sit by the pool of Siloam. It was here at this pool of Siloam, just a few short weeks ago, that one day my life completely changed, and in a very dramatic way. I shall explain. I was sitting by the pool of Siloam, as I was accustomed to do, and there was all the usual noise. People moving past and people praying, people singing. Suddenly, there was an air of excitement, an air of, I don't know how to describe it to you, but maybe expectation. And the people were saying that the miracle preacher from Galilee was coming towards the pool. I'd heard about this preacher called Yeshua. I'd heard about what he'd done in Galilee. And I heard about what he'd done in Samaria even. It's amazing he would go to Samaria, a Jew. But there you are. That's what I heard. And I became really hopeful that he might heal my sight. But as he drew near, I heard a voice from a disciple, I think, asking him about me, talking about me like I wasn't there. And he was asking whether my blindness was because of my sin or my parents. I was so hurt. I was so ashamed. I felt deeply embarrassed that whoever was speaking was doing so as if I was not even there. My heart sank. I quickly lost hope. But then I heard the preacher reply, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." The words of him that sent me just echoed around and around in my head, because Siloam means sent. And here is the preacher talking about having been sent to work the works of him that sent him. And I thought, I'm sure he's talking about me. Then I heard him spit on the ground. A minute or so later, he touched my face so gently, with such kindness, and he rubbed mud that he had made with his spittle on my eyes. It seemed like a really weird thing to do. It didn't seem to make any sense. Why is he putting mud on my eyes? But somehow, something inside me just felt safe in his hands. And he said to me, "Shlomo, go to the pool of Siloam, wash your face." It was very surreal and didn't seem to make much sense, but I obeyed. And when I had washed my face, I was healed. As I washed the mud from my eyes, I could see. For the first time in my life, I was no longer blind. I have no words. There is no way to describe how I felt at that moment. And as I opened my eyes, as my blindness departed, the very first thing that I saw was the beautiful face of the preacher, Yeshua. Surely, truly, he is the light of the world, as he claimed he was. When my neighbors saw me, they were astonished. They said I should go to the temple and report the healing to the priests. That's what we do, we Jews. So they took me to the temple, the first time I'd ever seen it. And oh, what a magnificent sight it was. Whereas I'd only known black, now there were colors everywhere. I couldn't stop looking at the sky. It was just so beautiful. The priest asked me how I was healed of my blindness. So I told them what happened at the pool of Siloam with the preacher, Yeshua. I was shocked when they became enraged. I couldn't understand. Why would they be angry with me? Because I've been healed by Yeshua, and they dragged me before the Pharisees. The Pharisees kept asking me who I thought this Yeshua was. And I told him I thought he must be a prophet, because we know that God does not hear the prayers of sinners. Then they sent for my parents and they asked them about my being healed. My parents were very afraid. And they said, "We know not how our son, who was born blind, now sees." Finally, they screamed and yelled at me and told me I was altogether born in sin, that I knew nothing at all. And they threw me out of the temple. It was shattering for a faithful Jew to be discarded like trash from the temple we love. It was shattering. As I made my way back towards my favorite spot to sit at the pool of Siloam, a man approached me and introduced himself as Peter. He said, "I'm a disciple of Yeshua." Peter said that he wanted to tell me something about Yeshua, about who he was. I was all ears, and as Peter related his account, I became more and more astonished by the minute. Here's what he said. "Yeshua took James, his brother John, and I up to a very secluded place on the top of a high mountain. And when we reached that place, Yeshua was transfigured before us. I mean, he just became like the Shekinah glory right in front of us. His face shone like the sun, his clothing white as the Shekinah. As we looked at this indescribable scene, we also saw Moses and Elijah talking with him. As we watched on, we were convinced that Yeshua was about to start the kingdom of God right then. So since, like every other Jew, I know that the Feast of Tabernacles is the only feast we will observe in the kingdom of God, I said to Yeshua, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you want us to, let us make here three tabernacles.'" one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It just seemed the right thing to do. The kingdom is here. The kingdom has arrived. We need to celebrate the feast of Sukkot. And while I was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice out of the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When we heard that voice, we all fell on our faces and were terrified. I don't know how long we are on our faces, but then Yeshua came and he touched us. And he said, "Arise and be not afraid." When we opened our eyes and looked, we saw only the beautiful face of Yeshua. As I went on my way back to the pool of Siloam to sit quietly and pray, all I could think of was what Peter had told me, and I was both astonished and bewildered. Who ever heard of such a thing? When I reached the pool, I had no sooner sat down, and Yeshua came up to me with the most serene and welcoming and beautiful smile on his face. He asked me, "Shlomo, do you believe I'm the Son of God?" I replied, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And then to my astonishment, to my total amazement, Yeshua said, "Shlomo, you are looking at him and you are talking with him." As the realization dawned on me that I was standing in the very presence of Adonai HaMashiach, God our Messiah, I cried out, "I believe, Lord." And I fell on my knees and worshipped him. Well, friends, that all happened during the spring festivals. What an amazing time. It was an amazing, life-changing experience. And since being healed, I've been able to work in our vineyard and our olive grove. Summer has passed now. The harvest is complete and it's autumn in Israel. As I said, we've just had the Feast of Trumpets and then Shabbat, the Day of Atonement, which, given my conversion to faith in the Son of God, was very special to me this year. And now it is the 15th day of Tishri, the seventh month, and therefore time for Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. I've always loved Sukkot, as it acknowledges and celebrates the provision of God for us in our harvest, and also reminds us of his provision for us as our forefathers traversed the desert for 40 years after leaving Egypt. And as I've already told you, it also draws us to look forward to that provision of God in the kingdom that will come, when Adonai HaMashiach will rule and reign from the throne of David in Jerusalem. At this time, there is so much joy amongst my people. It is a wonderful time of thanksgiving, a time of laughter, singing and dancing, people openly worshiping God. Lots of famous rabbis teaching the scriptures to the people in the streets and many, many people in the city. The city is so crowded. And this is one of the three feasts that is mandatory for all Jewish men to attend. But it's customary for all families to come. And that's what we're seeing. Sukkot begins and ends with a special Sabbath day of rest. During the days of the feast, all Israelites build small shelters all over the city, to dwell in booths, to remind them that God delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and to look forward to the coming of Adonai HaMashiach, the Messiah, who would deliver his people from the bondage of sin. This feast, like all the feasts of Israel, consistently reminds us that God has promised to deliver his people from the bondage of sin and to deliver them from their enemies. Part of God's deliverance for the Israelites was his provision and protection during the 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, cut off from the promised land. There is always such a huge crowd at Sukkot. I make a point of coming to the pool of Siloam On each of the days of Sukkot, while it is still dark, very early in the morning, so I can sit on the steps where I love to be and can enjoy the water drawing ceremony. Every morning of Sukkot at daybreak, a group of Levites and priests come down to the pool of Siloam to draw fresh water in golden jugs from the temple to be poured on the altar after the daily morning sacrifice. When they arrive at the temple with the water, there are loud trumpet blasts. People are singing and dancing, and there's just so much happiness and rejoicing. There are two holes in the altar into which liquid is poured. One is for the wine, which accompanies every sacrifice, and a second, smaller one, is reserved for the Sukkot water. The purpose of the water ceremony is to give thanks to God for the rains that produce the harvest, and to cry out and to him and petition him for rains for the coming growing season. Today, my first Sukkot that I can actually see, I was watching one group of pilgrim worshippers who have come from a far land, arriving at the steps of the porch of the temple, carrying their lulavs. The lulav is a combination of date palm, willow, myrtle branches held together by a woven palm branch. The etrog, or the citron, is a lemon type of fruit with a wonderful citrus smell. When reciting the blessing over the lulav and the etrog, we wave them in six directions: north, south, east, west, up, and down. The purpose is to symbolize that God can be found in all directions, not only in one particular place. As I watched this group of pilgrim worshippers arrive at the temple, they ascended the steps, singing the traditional psalm of ascent as they approached the Levites, who are playing instruments, singing and worshipping, arms raised in the air, praising Elohim at the top of the steps to the porch of the temple. The words they are singing from the Psalms: behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Oh, there's such wonderful words. These beautiful psalms of ascent as the pilgrims make their way into the city of Jerusalem, and they sing the words of these lovely and wonderful psalms until they reach the very top of the steps where the Levites are praying, and then the trumpets sound and arms are raised, and God is worshipped in spirit and truth. The nights of Sukkot are very special, as they are spent celebrating this once-a-year offering. The priests kindle fires on great candelabra, lighting up Jerusalem as if it were the middle of the day. From all over the city and even up into the Judean hills, the 470-foot-tall menorahs can be seen with huge flames coming out of their spouts. It is a spectacular sight, as the whole city is lit up and seems to just be so alive. Throughout the night, pious men dance holding torches. The Levites play music while the people watch with excitement. The temple courtyard is specially furnished to accommodate this event, and a balcony is always erected for the women so they too can observe the celebrations and revelry. It's just a wonderful time. Throughout these days of this present Sukkot, when I can for the first time see all the activities, I just don't want it to end. I'm enjoying all the festivities so much, but I'm troubled by that I have not seen Yeshua yet, even though I know he would be here. The crowd is so large and everybody's so close together, I guess it's easy to understand why I haven't been able to find him. Anyway, we have completed the 7 days of Sukkot now, and we come to the special Sabbath that follows, the eighth day. We call this eighth day the last great day of the feast. It's not really part of Sukkot, but it's a special Sabbath that comes after Sukkot. In the late afternoon, as the crowd, with the crowd as dense around the temple as it's been all festival long, as the excitement and the joy is not abated at all, the water ceremonies are completed now. There are no more water ceremonies. And then I see Yeshua, and he's ascending the steps to the porch of the temple. As the crowd all begin to see him, the whole city suddenly falls silent, and all eyes are on Yeshua. He stands with his arms wide open on the temple porch. The crowd is silent in expectation. And Yeshua declares in a loud voice, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Shock at his words reverberate through the crowd. I don't quite know how you, my Gentile friends, understand his words. But to the Jewish mind, educated as we are in Torah, Mishnah, and Talmud, he was plainly identifying himself with the prophecy of Ezekiel that relates to the outpouring of water from under the temple of the kingdom of God, and himself sitting on the Father, on the throne of our father David. Yeshua has just declared himself to be Adonai HaMashiach, God, our Messiah. It's been so wonderful to be with you from Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. I hope you've enjoyed my account.